I just got to say, the worship this morning, I could just really feel the presence of God. It was just awesome. And when we prayed for Tilly, this is not my message, but when we prayed for Tilly, just the passion that was in the prayer. And just want to say that one of the things that I know is that passion really gets God's attention. You know, it really gets his attention. Who's the guy that climbed the tree? Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus did something that was below him and climbed a tree. And that got Jesus' attention. And look what that resulted in. Barabbas, he cried out. And people told him to shut up. But that got God's attention. And so I really feel this week that we're going to be fasting and praying and stuff. That's the message, is the passion that God's looking for, or what we can demonstrate will get God's eyes looking at us. You know, that passion is going to pull the changes that we're requiring, we're wanting, we're desiring, it's probably a better word, to come forward. So, yeah, this, not my message, but, you know. So thanks, Wes and Janet, for this opportunity, letting me to get up here and share this morning. And thank you all for letting me practice on you. So we'll see how we do this morning. Just want to pray. So, Holy Spirit, we just really appreciate you. You're so good to us. We know that you're the big helper that Jesus sent to be with us, to help us grow and to become children and grow as children into mature sons and daughters. And I just really ask that my words this morning will lead people to you, and that any words that I might have that don't lead people to you, Father, they'll just be forgotten. I ask in Jesus' name. So I'm going to talk a little bit about testing and some of the perspective change that I've had around testing. I'm just going to start by talking about Lucifer. Lucifer had a name change, which also means he had a character change when he got kicked out of heaven to Satan. But Lucifer, when he was in heaven, you can find, there's a few places in the Bible that talks about Lucifer, but Ezekiel 28 verses 12 to 17 talks about Lucifer and who he was and what he did up in heaven. He's a pretty amazing being that God created. He was in a place of real intimacy in heaven, real just closeness to the Father. And one of the thoughts that I had or realized was that in this place of true intimacy, Lucifer was able to sin. The closeness to God, he was able to sin. And one of the things that, as we read Ezekiel 28, we find out that, you know, he's in God's presence with his glory, his beauty, his love, his holiness, his righteousness. And it also describes Lucifer as the guardian cherubim, or cherub. Cherub? There you go. So he was close to God. Stories that I've read of people who have had heavenly encounters or experiences where they've gone to heaven, often they'll describe the presence and the encounter of God, the love, the holiness, the greatness of God, that everything within that person just has really, while they have a choice, it just implores them just to worship God because he's just so awesome and so amazing. And in that place, still, Lucifer was able to have sin. And when Lucifer sinned, the consequence for his sin was final. When he sinned up in heaven, he was kicked out and there was no money-back guarantee. He was not allowed back. What's worse, when he sinned, his sin affected a third of the angels. They got taken with him. So what I realized was it was dangerous to sin in heaven. Wow. So that kind of started me thinking, well, okay, so maybe earth is just this big test so that when we get to heaven, we won't sin. And it kind of lasted for a wee while, thinking about that. And I realised that there's folly in that. It's not true. Because that would indicate that there's something that we could do here on earth that would be good enough to make us worthy and holy and perfect to go to heaven. And there's nothing that we can do in our frailty, in our weakness. It's just, the Bible says that all have fallen short of the glory of God, which means that we have done something wrong in our life. A white lie is still a lie. You know? And that disqualifies us from being perfect and holy, and heaven is a perfect and holy place. Only perfect and holy things can make it to heaven. So while if this world was a big test, then we would all fail. And like Satan, we couldn't go to heaven. That's it. So the perspective shift that I've had is that this place, while there is testing, and the Bible talks a lot about testing, while there is testing, it's not a test to see if we're worthy to make it to heaven, because there's only one thing that can make us worthy, and that's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sin. I've kind of gone off track a little bit here. Do apologise, but I'll just read some of my notes for a minute. The other thought that I've realised in this is that, dare I say it, that the earth is actually a safe place to sin. Because we do have the blood of Jesus that can bring forgiveness for our sin. I'm not saying that we should go out and sin because we can be forgiven. That's not what I'm saying at all. All I'm saying is that we do make mistakes, and praise God, we're not in heaven where the judgment and justice is final. We have the opportunity to turn and repent from our sins and move further towards God. Right. So, obviously, there is testing here on earth. And one of the things that I've realised about the testing, there's lots of scriptures, like, for example, Job 7:18 says, "For you," referring to God, "examine us every morning and test us every moment." This is the cool perspective change I have, what I've realised is that this life is for us to grow as sons and daughters in God. Right, and so this is an opportunity, not a big test, but an opportunity for us to grow as sons and daughters of God. We've turned our life, if we've become Christians, we've turned our lives over to Jesus. We are now an adopted son or daughter of God, and now it's an opportunity to grow as a son and daughter of God. Now, when you learn about the Roman version of adoption, Wes has talked about it several times, you could be adopted into the family at an older age. I'm 41. I could be adopted into a Roman family at the age of 41. Me, at 41, have a whole bunch of cultural, family-based things that I do, but when you're adopted into another family, they'll do things differently. So here, us in this earth get adopted into God's kingdom family. Now we have an opportunity, and God's going to help us to become like his family, right? And so that means some things are going to have to change. And this is where testing comes in, and is really, really cool. It's one of the great things that I like about testing. And if we look at a test from Abraham's life, which is found in Genesis 22, this is verses 1 to 19. I'm not going to read it because it's quite long. And I'll just give you the Dougal paraphrase of it. Basically, Abraham finally gets his son, Isaac. And things are going along nicely. God's already said, "This from this son, you're going to be a great nation, a great people. I'm going to do some amazing things." And then one day God decides, "I'm going to test Abraham." And he says, "I want you to take him up the hill, and I want you to sacrifice him. I want you to give him his life to me." Now, I know I'm a dad, and if God said that to me about one of my sons, and you just lay this scenario out Abraham only had this one son that had the promise, I would have a hard time myself giving that son. And I can just imagine what Abraham was thinking when God asked him to do this. This is the promise. Why are you asking me to give away the promise? But in Abraham's obedience, he did. Took him up the hill to do what God had asked him to do. And then at the last minute, just before the knife comes down, the angel says, "Oh, hold up, don't do that." And then the scripture says that, or the angel says, "Now I know your heart." The angel said that, not God. "Now I know your heart, that you are faithful, that your faith is in God, that you would do everything God asked you to do." So I found myself asking the question when I read the story. So God's testing Abraham, and God knows everything. So why does God need to know the answer to this test? Does it benefit God? And what I realized is no, it doesn't. Because the next question is, who does it benefit? Who does the test benefit? It benefits us. It benefits me. In this particular story, where Abraham got to that place where he was about to give that sacrifice of his only son, his promised son, now he knows that no matter what God asked him to do, right to the extent where he would have to give away his promise that God had given him, he was capable of doing such a thing. Isn't that amazing? So, it's really shifted my perspective on testing and the trial. And I know for some of us, the trials are greater than others of us. And what is amazing about the trial, and we've talked about trials with Ezekiel here, and these other trials that others are going through, is that here's an opportunity for us to stand in our faith and reveal to ourselves the level of faith that we have in the trial and the testing. When we read through Genesis 22 in verse 15, we read this: "Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says: because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the shore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me." So, another thing that we get when we pass the test is God blesses us. There's the blessing that flows. So I just noted down another thing also while we were worshipping. I realised there's probably more than this, but I've got five things. So in the testing, when we pass the test, it shows us our heart, reveals something of our heart to us. It also shows our growth in a particular era. It also shows others our growth. And it's in this situation, our growth also demonstrates that we can be entrusted with more. It also allows God to bless us when we pass the test. And it also is a demonstration to Lucifer, to the devil, where we're at. So if you find yourself in the trial, in the test, I've often read James, and he says what James says in James: "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter the various trials." I often thought about it and thought, joy? Who likes trials? Who likes tests? Not me. But now in this light, from what God's been revealing to me. Now I understand that the trials and the tests really benefit me, you know, and can benefit those around me. Like Abraham passed that test and his blessing is amazing. We all benefit from that blessing. Yeah. So if you're in the trial, count it all joy. All right? You can do it. Yeah. Very good.
Thank you, Greg. Bless you, man. And did you feel some flows there that you hadn't rehearsed or hadn't pre-thought?
Totally.
Good. Because Dougal's actually got quite a prophetic edge, quite a prophetic dimension in his life. And he's a number of times, several times he's prophesied to me, he's had a word for me, and it's been a real blessing to me. And so there's a teaching dimension on his life, but it also flows into a prophetic gifting. And so we talked yesterday, and he talked about how going over the message, he found he would get into different flows. And he wasn't sure whether that flow would turn up when he actually did the message. This is how it is for us, Dougal, you know. And so I said, that's okay. That's totally okay. It might turn up, or another one might. Another flow might turn up. Isn't that right, Danny? And so that's the nature of it. Just a straight, pure teacher will often be able to have those things already settled and established, what he's going to share or she's going to share before she ever steps up behind this thing. But there's other flows also where you are prepared, but you don't quite know what's going to kick in. And when it does kick in, you know it, you feel the anointing, you feel it, and you're away on it. That's just how it is. So you felt a bit of that, didn't you, Google? It's all part of the test and the trial. Very good. So turn your Bibles to James chapter 5. We're coming into a week, Friday night, Monday night through to Friday night, and then a break Saturday night, and then Sunday night was the grand finale. We're coming into time of prayer and fasting. Now, you're not going to be had a gun held to your head to be here. That's not. It's an invitation to be here. I'd love you to be here at whatever time you can, however often you can. But your name's not going to be ticked off a roll. You know what I'm saying? Because I just don't lead that way. And so my people are willing in the day of his power, not forced in the day of his power. They're willing in the day of his power. And so, but I am excited about this week coming up, because it's going to be an opportunity for a number of us to be able to gather together, as many as can possibly come, gather together, worship the Lord together, be seeking before him together. And then we've got some established things we're going to be praying, but there's also going to be things that'll just come out of the Spirit, and we'll be praying into those things. So come prepared for anything. It's going to be wonderful. James chapter 5 verse 13, this proper name is Jacob, but we in the English world we call him James for some reason. I don't know why we couldn't have called him Jacob, but translators decided to do that. Jesus' half-brother, different father, same mother. And that was controversial, but it's not controversial in our thinking, because we know that the father of Jesus was the Holy Ghost, the Heavenly Father. The father of Jacob was Joseph. So Joseph was born of the natural line. Jesus was born by the Spirit, because that which was formed in Mary was of the Holy Spirit, the virgin birth. Incredibly important understanding. Because if Jesus wasn't born of a virgin and he'd been born of the natural means, he would have been born in sin just like every other human being. And he would have needed a redeemer. But because he is the redeemer, born of a virgin, born of the Father's line, not Adam's line, then he could be the redeemer. It's very, very important. Don't let anybody talk you out of the understanding that Jesus was born of a virgin. Okay? The rest is just liberal humanism. It's rubbish. Just staying it. So in this passage here, we have about several points on prayer. And verse 30 says, is any one of you suffering? And he's speaking to the believers. He's speaking to believers who are in a local church setting, the church. And he's saying, is any of you suffering? Let him pray. If any of you are suffering, pray. If any of you are suffering, struggling, suffering persecution, suffering hardship, pray. The tendency can be sometimes that we're suffering, we're in trial. Well, let's just get other people to pray. I'm all for community, wraparound, prayer, standing in faith. Yeah, all for it, totally all for it. But I'm not all for somebody negating their personal responsibility and their personal journey of growth and coming before the throne of God just because they feel a bit discouraged and they can't be bothered praying, so they're just going to get other people to pray. If anybody is suffering, let them pray. So our personal prayer, our personal journey in prayer, our personal pressing in, our personal dealing with our discouragement, dealing with our pressures, dealing with this and that, is an important part of our growth journey. Well, many of us will know there are times when you're struggling with something and it's hard to bring your heart to actually go before God and pray, but that we must do. We've got to do that. We've got to, like David, when he was King David, when he went away on a big raid with his men, came back, and all their wives and family, all their stuff had been taken by an enemy. And the guys wanted to rise up and kill him and hang, draw and quarter and whatever they wanted to do. They were just, and David was now the big villain in the whole thing, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. And part of the journey of faith, part of the journey of maturing is learning how to encourage ourselves in the Lord and how to take our situation of whatever the situation is and bring it before the Lord and pray. I've been in situations where I've had to really gather up everything I've got, if you like, and turn my face to the Lord and pray. And many of you have been in that place. But I want to tell you, if anybody is suffering, let them pray. If anybody is cheerful, it says in the next verse, anybody is cheerful, let them sing praises. So whether we're struggling or whether we're happy, it's great to express to the Lord, to express our need, our struggle, our situation, our challenge, to express it to the Lord, to come and pray, to pray before Him and pray and ask Him to deliver us and whatever the need may be. And if we're cheerful, it's good to give praise. So whichever end of the stick we're on right now, let's express to the Lord. Either praise or prayer. Lord, I need help. I need delivering. One or the other. Because the enemy wants to do is in a time of pressure is cause our mind to start thinking thoughts that God is being mean to me. And I'm not going to talk to Him. I was with a young man this week in a ministry situation. He's not part of the church. He'll remain nameless. And just talking, just conversing about a situation he walked through. He just some things he'd been feeling toward the Lord and some journeying. He's a profound young man. He's one of the most passionate young men I know for the Lord in terms of his passion, his love for God, his love for the gospel, his love for the lost. A very passionate young man. I've known him for a long time. Not part of Living Waters. And but he'd just been journeying some stuff and came to a bit of a place he needed some help. And so we're just talking about some things and talking about some of the deep views, deep ideas, deep thoughts he has toward himself and toward God. And I talked about how when he was 13, his father died. And I said, how was that for you? What did you think about yourself? What did you think about God? And down out of the depths of his heart, he started to speak of the fact that he hated God. In that moment, he hated God. And he was so disappointed, so deeply disappointed. And in that moment, he judged God, and he just hated God. A little bit of time had gone by. I'd recovered from that emotion, but unfortunately, unbeknown to me and unbeknown to him, it had set up something. It had given an inroad for the enemy into his life and a deep foundational area of his life. And as soon as he began to speak about it, how suddenly the emotion welled up, and suddenly he just went into a major deliverance. Major. I was just basically sitting watching it happen. I put my hand on his back at one point and broke a bit of this and commanded a bit of that to go, but really it seemed as though the Holy Ghost was just doing the whole thing. And the depths of this and the groan, the pain, the groaning, what he was saying, and it was so intense for him, he burst an eye, a vessel in his eyeball. It was so intense when the stuff was coming out of him and being released from it. And then the release from his life was huge. It was massive deliverance. And then I had somebody from another church contact me. I've just heard about so-and-so. I've got such and such a case, and named all the complexities of the case. And I'm thinking, whoa, have I got time to take that one on? And I said, let's talk at a future date, you know, and so on. So he had already been talking to people. But what I'm saying is this, in that moment, in that time in his life where there was that painful tragedy from his perspective, and probably from anybody's perspective, that painful tragedy, what he felt and what he experienced in terms of his heart and his thinking toward God in that moment opened the door to something. Now, all of us here who have had to farewell a loved one, either because of health, a disease or an accident or just a sudden heart attack or a terrible accident, whatever, we all know the grief and the pain to various levels. We know that. And the benefit we have in the kingdom of God is that we have a healer and a comforter. Even though there are questions and things we can't understand and things we can't, that just don't add up in our theology, and we still have a comforter that if we do turn to him, or at least open our heart to him somewhere, cry to him, he does get us through it. Amen. And he gets us through the other side, and there may be some wounds and some things to be healed up in a while or in a time or when the time is right, but nevertheless, he is our comforter when we mourn. He is our helper. He is our very ever-present help in time of need. In spite of the questions and the bewilderment and the pain, he gets us through it. Because, you see, we don't have to be bound in an ungodly grief or a worldly grief which has no hope. We have underlying everything that happens in life, because we know that Jesus is the Son of God. He has been raised from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life, and we do have an eternity. We are possessors of eternal life. We are in him, and forever with him is our promise. And one day, because we eat his flesh and we drink his blood, and some of you who have only just come to one meeting, you haven't got a clue what that's about, but the rest of you do. Because we imbibe Jesus, we eat of who he is, we drink of the covenant promise, we know that we will be raised up on the last day, we will be resurrected on the last day. And don't let anybody talk you out of a physical resurrection. It's just humanism. Our lies. The truth is that every saint of God who's in Christ, who eats and drinks of Jesus, will be raised up on the last day. Amen. Whatever that day is. Just saying it. But this young man and his journey recognized in this moment that he had hated God. It was such a, I'm sitting there going, oh my goodness, I would never have picked this about this young man. I would never have picked this about this young man. Talk about the Holy Spirit being our counselor. And so, just massive. So I'm talking with Sally earlier in the week, and talking about this week of prayer coming up. One of the things it's going to be good to deal with at some point if we're not going to deal with it this morning, and we will deal with some of it this morning, give you an opportunity to respond and open up your heart to God, and I don't know what he'll do, is acknowledge the fact that maybe deep down inside of us, some of us have got really unresolved disappointments because we didn't see the answer the way we really hope to see it. What does that mean about the character of God? Well, what it means about the character of God, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And every believer who walks the earth for any length of time will experience things in this world that are contradictory. Sometimes it can be because of sin, sometimes somebody's sin, sometimes it can be because of somebody else's sin or somebody else's issues, and it impacted on our lives or on our family, and we were just totally the innocent party. There's all sorts of scenarios in this fallen, broken world. That's why we have so many laws, because we're living in a very fallen and broken world. But nevertheless, God is. He loves us. He's ransomed us. He went to the cross as our substitute. He's redeemed us. And we live in this world, and we've been invited into and enlisted into an army which is at war. Not with the weapons of this war, of this world, but with the mighty weapons of God that God has given us. And one of the weapons that God has given us is the power to forgive, but also the power to process with Holy Spirit and come back to a place of wholeness and freedom and faith. Because there are people who will acknowledge the need to pray and want to be a person of prayer, but there's something that's blocking them. There's something that's just holding them back. There's something that's gotten into the heart that has caused a barrier, and every time they think about praying or want to come and spend time in prayer, it's like somehow there's this reluctance, there's this resistance, or there's something. For this young man, he was a man of prayer. So that's what surprised me so much. And I'm using this example because it just happened this week. And I wasn't even looking for it. It just happened. A conversation. And suddenly a realization. And then the Holy Ghost just moved. Boom. And the guy walks out a different person. Eventually, when he could work, I had to go to another appointment. I had to leave him there. I checked on him later. So here's the deal. We don't know what's there. We don't know what's there. If you're like me, you can really believe you've processed some things well. And we do our best. We do. And in doing our best, sometimes that really helps us move forward. But then there comes a day when the Holy Spirit just pinpoints something. And there's a deliverance, or there's a freedom, or there's a realization, or there's a renouncing, or there's something, and suddenly a whole new level of freedom comes. Many years ago, we went up to the Catch the Fire conference in Auckland with John and Carol Arnott, the first time they came to New Zealand. Catch the Fire was at Victory Christian Church in Auckland. 4,500 people, I think, there. And people were getting just hit, just touched by the Holy Ghost, hit by the Holy Ghost. It was just so glorious for everybody else. And I was, why isn't it happening to me? I was desperate. I came into a meeting one day after about 4 days of this, and people were getting hit by the Holy Ghost and awesome things were happening, and Janet, and we had about 13, 14 people up there, part of the church at the time. There were about 1996, 97, somewhere in there. And I'm coming to the meeting, I'm just feeling so uptight, upset. Why isn't God doing something with me? Why isn't something happening for me? And I'm walking around out in the foyer. I don't even want to go into the meeting. I'm walking out in the foyer. And I run into one of the speakers, Mark Banyard with his name. Mark Banyard. And he said, oh, are you okay? I said, oh, I'm struggling with, you know. He said, I'll tell you my story. I went to Toronto for 2 years, every night. And my wife would get plastered and the Holy Ghost, and she'd be drunk and the Holy Ghost, and we'd be driving home 2 hours. It was, might have been many months. It might have been up to 2 years, but it was certainly 2 years is in there. And his wife would be laughing in the car, and he'd be sitting there seething, driving. And then one day he was invited to preach in another church somewhere. So he goes and fulfills the invitation. He gets up behind the pulpit and boom. Holy Ghost just falls on him. Boom. And he's just, he just shared that to encourage me. You know, because at mine it was only 4 days. You know. So I went into the meeting, and then later on there was prayer and so on. And then David Mortimer, yourself, there was a few others. They started praying for me. They're praying for me. Were you at that meeting? Did you go up that, Peter? Just praying for me. And all of a sudden, it was like the wellspring of my guts just started to open up, and I just started bawling my eyes out like I've hardly ever cried before. I probably do that for about 15 minutes, just this heaving crying. And as I'm crying, I feel stuff coming out of me. I feel stuff coming out of me. Stuff I thought I'd resolved. Just stuff I could feel coming out of me. Not my breakfast, not my lunch, nothing like that. It wasn't physical. It was just stuff, the pain, hurts, disappointment, whatever, just coming out of me like this. I could just feel it coming out of me. Stuff I thought I'd resolved. An issue with this person, and some hurt with that person, whatever it was. And I got up off the floor after 15 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it was, and I finally settled down, and I just feel so light. I feel like a pack has been lifted off my back. Felt so free. I felt so light. You know, so here's the issue. Sometimes we think we've really dealt with it, and then God moves on us, and then something shifts, and the freedom comes. I believe it's like that when we're coming to this time of prayer. There's just some here that maybe there's some stuff that just needs to shift. Just needs to be released. And I don't know how to engineer that, except I'm sharing this story and I'm sharing this with you, and I'm totally reliant on Holy Spirit working with you to bring your release. But what I do know is this, that like that young man this week, somehow we just position ourselves before the Lord and do the best to open our heart and just ask Him, Lord, is there anything blocking the way in me? That's blocking the way for me in prayer and intimacy with you. So what are we going to do? And in that moment, He just may reveal something to you. And in that moment, then you can tell Him about it. And we'll see what happens. And the rest of you might have lunch. Try and keep it down. So let's stand. Dougal, this is quite different to how I imagined it coming in. You can read through the rest of James. You see the things that James talks about in prayer. About any sick among you, let them call the elders and come and anoint them with oil and pray, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Talks about confessing our faults to one another and praying for one another that we may be healed. And that verse from verse 13 to 18, there are, I counted in one of my translations anyway, 7 different aspects where it's about prayer. And one of them is, and then it sort of finishes part, not quite finishes, but finishes with the, but the in the King James, New King James, for the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. Fervent, effectual prayer, that's King James probably. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man, righteous woman, a righteous person avails much. Father, we want to thank You today. Lord, You're the only one that knows the true depths of our hearts. And also you know the time. You know the timing. You know when it's time for something to shift. All we're doing today, Lord, is positioning ourselves before you. We want to be so free in our hearts. So free to go into to have proper heart connection, heart intimacy with you. And the fullness of what Jesus has won for us. And not only that, Lord, but also just the freedom to come boldly before your throne. And the liberty of being healed and whole. So today, Lord, we open our hearts to you. If there's disappointments, in deep judgments like that young man, Lord, I just ask you to help us, help each one. Your Holy Spirit, you're the one who knows the deep, intimate places of our hearts, just like you know the deep, intimate places of God's heart. So right now, Father, I thank you for your beautiful Spirit just moving, brooding, and hovering over us. Each person where there's an invitation, I just pray you settle on them now in Jesus' name. And Father, you bring a release, you bring a healing, you bring a realization. Well, maybe for some it's the beginning of a journey to deal with this and be set free. So we ask you in Jesus' name. We ask you in Jesus' name. And if you need to respond, and I'm encouraging you to, if you recognize this is for you, there's a deep disappointment there, there's a deep grief there, there's a deep judgment there. You've just recognized it as I've been speaking. Just come up and stand before the Lord. You may get hands laid on, you may not. I'm not guaranteeing anything. I'm just saying you just come and present yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, just move on my heart. Move on my heart today, if that's you. It may just take somebody to be a bit brave. If that's you. Thank you, Father, right now. There's a whole lot of reasons for disappointment sometimes. Some is because we thought that God had promised us something. We thought there was a promise relating to that, but when we really read the scriptures, he didn't necessarily promise that at all. He did say there were challenges. He did say there would be difficulties. He did say that some of us they would even kill. So let's not try and hold him to a promise he never made. He never promised that our lives would be wrapped in cotton wool. He never promised that he would be like some sort of luck charm to us. He said there would be challenges, would be difficulties. But he did promise his continual presence. And he did promise his deliverance into his perfect presence. Just come on up in here. Just condense up in here a bit, guys, if you could. Make room for people that are out on the wings. Just come on up in here. Just come up in here. You wanna just come up in here. Just condense up a little bit so we've just got more room for people to come on over. It would be appropriate for us to pray together and hand what this is over to the Lord. For some of us in here right now, it may mean that we need to actually drop our grudge. I personally don't use the term forgiving the Lord, because for me, forgiveness is connected with sin and God can't sin. But in the sense of forgiveness as in dropping your grudge, that's relevant. Could you pray with me now? Father, I thank you that you have redeemed me, that I'm your child. I know, Lord, that you did not promise that life would not be without difficulty. And so, Lord, this hurt, this issue in my heart that I've identified, I open my heart to your Spirit. Feel free to pray after me. I can't really hear anybody, but if you are praying after me, that's good. But I'd like you to be a little bit louder so I can tell you you're with me. Father, I open my heart to you right now. And I ask by your Spirit that you would heal my heart, that I would let it go, that I would let the grudge go. Every grudge I've had against you, I let it go. I let it go now. Every judgment I've had in my heart, and it's been there secretly, I renounce that judgment against you. I repent of that judgment against you. And I ask you to heal my heart and release my life right now. I release you from false expectation. And I ask you, Lord, to reveal your word to me as to what are your true promises and what are your true statements that I can stand upon. In Jesus' name right now, I release it to you. And Holy Spirit, lift it off me. Right now, I thank you for every heart, every life. Don't have to pray after me. Every heart, every life right now, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for just working a miracle right now in every life, in every heart. In every heart right now, in every heart right now, in every heart right now, in every heart right now. Now, prayer team, could you come up and just begin to lay hands on people? And there's some people you'll need to pray with. They may just briefly tell you what it is. Please be brief with telling them. Briefly tell them what it is, and then you pray for them and release them. And you could prayer ministry, come on up. There may be some demonic manifestation. There may not. I don't care. Just come on up, prayer ministry team, and just begin to spend a bit of time. And then after we've ministered a little while, we're just going to release you, kind of have some lunch, hang out with each other, and there's a cake auction, spend all your money, or some of it. Father, in Jesus' name right now, we thank you. Right now, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. 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 And we thank you, Lord, for James as well. We thank you for James, Mike's son, right now. We just pray, move on his body. Move on his body right now. Move on him, Lord. Just turn the situation around for him in Jesus' name. We release your word to him. Be healed, James, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Be healed, James, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for moving on every life here, Lord. Moving on every life, moving on every life. Just ministering your grace and your power right now. Ministering your grace and your power right now. And some of you, the prayer team is on the... Thank you, Father, right now. Right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, right now. Thank you, Father. 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 I'm just going to sing... Just going to lead you in one song. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. I'm just going to let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. I'm just going to sing that. We're just going to sing that over the people. Once we've sung that a couple of times, then please be released to go and get some lunch. Can we just pick that one up, Catherine, when you're able? Thank you, Father, right now. 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 Every spirit of hatred, every spirit of hatred, every spirit that is binding, that is connected in with disappointment or judgment against God or bitterness against God on a very deep level, right now in Jesus' name, I break its power. I command it to loose every person right now. I command it to loose every person right now. Loose every person right now. Loose every person right now. In Jesus' name, Shabbat Undai. Love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you sound. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Hallelujah. Feel free to pray if you'd like to. Danny, just feel free, man. Feel free to pray, Oscar, if you'd like to. Just this young man here. Both you and I, would you be all right if you prayed for this guy? Yeah, this young man here. Thank you, Father. Has somebody prayed with you, Aaron? Somebody prayed with you? Not yet? Okay. Feel free to go over and start getting some lunch and that sort of thing. And just a few more people we want to minister to here. And God bless you. My apologies, no lunch yet. The auction's going to be happening first. And so just go and start forming up there with all your money. And it'll be God bless.